1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 5, as we are working our way through the book of 1 Timothy. We now come to chapter 5. Today we're going to be talking about honoring our widows. In verses 1 and 2, the family of God is divided up into older and younger believers. The older group is to be treated as mothers and fathers. The younger group is to be treated as brothers and sisters, and he adds, with all purity. And so our text speaks of the duty of the family and the church to care for needy widows. So Paul breaks up the widows into two groups here, older widows and younger widows. Today we're going to focus on the older widows. And next week, we will then turn our attention to the younger widows and the instructions that Paul gives for them. From the beginning of its ministry, the church has always had concern for its widows. In fact, you can go all the way back to Acts chapter 6. And if you remember when some widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food, they chose seven men and appointed them over this ministry to see to it that no widow was overlooked, that no needs of widows were overlooked. And so the church had these special servants, ministers, to minister to these godly women. James writes this in James 1:27. He said, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." And so a believer demonstrates his faith by deeds of love and mercy to those who are in need. James would say, faith without works is dead. And so this lengthy section on widows in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses really 1 through 16. And so we're going to be looking at what the church's responsibility is toward older widows. So two points this morning in our sermon. Point number one is the church's obligation to support widows. Paul says in verse 3, honor widows who are really widows. And so the Greek term that we translate widow there means bereft. It means simply that one has suffered loss, that one has been left alone. And in ancient times, widows were an especially difficult position because there really wasn't employment for older widows, at least not a lot of employment. There were no secular institutions to care for them. You didn't have Social Security. You didn't have nursing homes. You didn't have retirement homes. And so the outlook for many widows looked pretty bleak. And so it was absolutely vital that the church come to their aid, that the church come to assist them. And so the church must be committed to widows who genuinely need assistance, whatever the cost might be. The church should be happy to do so because it shows God's compassion toward the destitute. Even when widows have financial resources, the church still needs to come alongside with encouragement and love and support in every way possible. All right, so this is important. The second point is where we're going to spend the bulk of our time. The church's obligation to evaluate their needs. And so the church needs to discern which widows are in genuine need of financial care. It cannot indiscriminately just support every person. So the scriptures lay down some guidelines to help us determine who qualifies for this assistance and who does not qualify for this assistance. Notice what Paul says in verse 4. In verse 4, Paul says, "But if any widow has children or grandchildren," notice, "let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God." And so many widows have children and grandchildren. And I want to key in on that word first that he mentions there in verse 4. Let them first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family, as he says in verse 4. First indicates priority of order. Family members are the first one who have the responsibility to care for widows. In fact, in verse 8, Paul says this, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." And so true spirituality reveals itself in the context of family relationships. And so children are to give back a return to their parents. That's just natural, right? The Bible says, "Honor your father and your mother," which includes a financial obligation. And so it should be a great and happy privilege for children and grandchildren to return a small measure for the tremendous support that they had received all of their lives as their parents raised them. And so Paul stated that widows with families should receive support from them. In verses 5 and 6, he details how the church should evaluate the needs of those who don't have families. And so not all widows had families. So widows who had families, their children and grandchildren were first responsible to care for them. If they did not have family members, then the church had to come through and care for them. And so some widows qualified for this assistance, and some widows did not. Now, this lesson may not seem real practical today because, you know, we have Social Security, because we have, you know, retirement homes, because we have a lot of means of helping and taking care of elderly people. But I want you to know this text is very relevant today, even though we have those resources. The church cannot just abdicate their responsibility for widows. We still have a responsibility here, and I'm going to show that. So let's talk about those who qualify for the support. Paul is very clear in the text who qualifies and who does not. First of all, those who have no family support. So if a widow doesn't have family support, Paul says in verse 3, he says, "Now she is a widow indeed, and who has been left alone." And so we're talking about a widow who doesn't have any family members. She's all alone. This is one of the qualifications. Number two, widows who are believers. Verse 5b says that she has her hope fixed on God. This is a Christian. This is a woman who loves God with all of her heart, mind, soul, and strength. And so you have to be a believing widow. Number three, widows who are fervent in prayer, who speak to God, who talk to God. Verse 5c says, "And continues in entreaties and prayers night and day." And so she entrusts every aspect of her life to God. Her prayer life is reflective, if you will, of an intimate personal relationship with God, because she's in this constant communication with Him. But then also he mentions here, she must be at least 60 years of age. And so there's an age limit here If she were 59, she wouldn't qualify. Paul says she has to be 60. In verse 9, he says, not let a woman be taken into the number under 60 years old. So they have to be 60. And then she must be the wife of one man or one husband. Verse 9 says, having been the wife of one man. She is a one-man woman. That's who she is. And so, next, Paul says that they are to be reputable. They are to be reputable. Verse 10 says, well reported of good works, if she hath brought up children, if she hath lost strangers, if she hath washed the saints' feet, if she hath relieved the afflicted, if she hath diligently followed every good work. And so we're talking about a widow in the church who was a hard worker for the Lord. Not someone who just came to services. Just came to services and went home. But a woman who invested her life in ministry and in the work of God. This is the woman, Paul says, that qualifies. And the word good signifies here nobility and excellence of character. It is similar to the quality of blamelessness that we read about for deacons and elders back in chapter 3. She is well known for her excellent character. Verse 10 says, she hath diligently followed every good work. So she has an unrelenting pursuit of doing good for other people. That's the kind of woman that Paul's talking about here. And so there are four ways that this woman, this widow, the widow Paul's talking about here, demonstrates her excellence. He gives a profile of this woman. And so he lists several qualities here. So let's look at these. There are four that he lists for us. Number one, for being godly mothers. She hath brought up children. She hath brought up children, verse 10. And so her children had the spiritual benefit of her influence. And so as her children were growing up, she was teaching them about the Lord. She was guiding them spiritually. She was involved in her children's lives. And being a mother is one of the greatest privileges a woman can have, because of the influence that she has over her children. Mothers do so much in the raising of children. I know fathers don't seem like they put in the same amount of input as mothers do when it comes to nurturing children, showing love and teaching and guiding, and mothers are so patient and loving. But the second thing Paul points out here is she hath lodged strangers. Says that in verse 10 as well. To lodge strangers, that's usually referring to when missionaries were out preaching the gospel. They often needed places to stay. Well, they didn't have hotels and motels everywhere. And so you needed to depend on on your brothers and sisters in Christ to show some hospitality. And often widows did this. And Paul says the widow who showed hospitality, the widow who took in preachers, who took in evangelists, who took in missionaries, that woman is to be provided for. She has given them shelter. Then Paul also says, for being humble. Well, she washes the saints' feet. It's one of the, we read about this a lot in the Bible, in the New Testament, but the washing of feet is a very humbling thing to do, right? To take someone's shoes off and get a basin of water and begin to wash their feet. I mean, you may not like to even touch another person's feet, much less wash another person's feet. But these widows washed the feet of travelers. Why? Because they wore sandals. And they walked on many dusty, dirty roads. And at the end of the day, their feet were filthy and they were in need of washing. And the widows often took that responsibility. Paul says the widow that does that, she's worthy. And then also Paul says, for being unselfish, she hath relieved the afflicted. You know, the afflicted speaks of those who are under pressure, whether mental pressure, physical pressure, emotional pressure. She relieves the pressure of believers. I don't know about you, but that's a needed ministry. There are a lot of people that are under a lot of pressure. And when people come along and minister to them and relieve pressure, that's a true blessing. And Paul says there were a lot of widows who did this. In verse 16, it indicates support, which might include money, meals, housing. And so she spent a lot of time helping other people. And those are the kind of widows that Paul says that the church needs to care for and families need to care for. Going back to what Paul, I didn't have it up there. Verse 8 again. But if any provide not for his own, especially those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And so Paul is saying that God's people need to be taken care of, and especially widows. And so in verse 8, he states negatively what is stated in verse 4. And so the latter says it's good for families to support their parents. The former says if they don't, they are acting like unbelievers. Look, it's just a natural thing. If your mom needs help and you're a child, you should help her. That's just a natural. No one should even have to encourage you to do that, right? There shouldn't even have to be a scripture on that. I mean, that's sort of just a natural, normal thing to do. Mom needs help. I'm mom's boy. I'm going to help mom. That's a natural thing for people to do. But we're living in a world where people are very selfish. Very selfish. And so Paul says, especially here. Especially means chiefly. It means most of all. Above all, a Christian is responsible to care for his own family member. And Paul says, if he doesn't, or she doesn't, whatever the case might be, he says, he hath denied the faith. Now, does it mean that this person stopped believing in God? It just means that this person is not loving the way this person is supposed to be loving. Because it's natural to care for people you love. It's unnatural not to care for them. And so when a person doesn't take care of his family, Paul says that person has denied the faith. He then says that person doesn't set a good example either. Right? You're worse than an unbeliever because most unbelievers take care of their families. Right? Unbelievers look out for their family members. How much more those who are believers? So when a believer doesn't fulfill the obligation that even an unbeliever knows to do, he's acting worse than an unbeliever. That's what Paul is saying. In John chapter 19, as Jesus was hanging on the cross near death, gathered at the foot of the cross were his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, Mary Magdalene. And in verse 26 of John 19, When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And so Jesus focused his attention on John, not himself. And John received Mary as his own mother, and he took care of her. It's interesting. Why didn't Jesus leave the care of his mama to his brothers? I mean, that seemed like that would have been the natural thing to do. But why would Jesus want to leave John in care? Well, we know Joseph is out of the picture by now. Joseph has died, obviously. And so she had no husband. And Jesus' brothers initially weren't believers in Jesus. And so I don't think Jesus wanted his mother entrusted to an unbeliever, but rather a believer. And so those who don't qualify for the support, verse 6. In verse 6 it says, She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she lives. And so the Greek term there, but, means on the other hand. And so this woman lives in contrast to the criteria that is described in verse 5. Liveth in pleasure means to live luxuriously. It means her interest is on this life. It means what she is most satisfied with is self-gratification. She may be alive physically, but Paul says this woman I'm talking about is dead spiritually. There's no trust, there's no devotion, there's no love for God, and she lives with disregard for what is right. And so it isn't the church's responsibility to care for that kind of widow. The church is obligated to help someone, is not obligated to help someone to live in sin. The church is not obligated in that particular circumstance. So church resources are not to be used for people who are spiritually dead in that way, because that doesn't advance the kingdom of God. So there are built-in consequences for deviating from God's word. The church needs to faithfully teach the word, which reveals the God who transforms people's lives. People should receive the church's support only when they qualify for it biblically. Paul says in verse 7, These things command that they may be blameless. And so these things needed to be taught. They needed to be communicated. This includes instructing families to their full obligations of caring for widows. It involves teaching the church and the church's responsibility of caring for widows who are widows indeed. This instruction is to go out to everyone because we all have a responsibility here to care for widows. I remember, I guess 6 years ago now, and Joey Blanton, his family moved here to Enid. The first thing Joey asked was, Who are your widows here? Because I would like to take them some flowers. And I know he did that. I mean, I'm not doing that to brag on him or anything like that, but that was the very first thing he was concerned with. The widows. And so today we're looking at the duty and the responsibility the church has to support needy widows. Now here's something I think is important. I think it would be a fantastic idea if we were to appoint deacons whose sole responsibility is to look after our widows and our widowers. That this is the deacons' responsibilities. This is their job. make sure our widows are taken care of. Appointing a deacon, I mean, that's what they did in Acts 6, right? Why wouldn't we appoint someone over that area today? Because believe it or not, even though you have Social Security, even though, you know, they may get a little bit of income from a job that they worked, sometimes it's not enough to live on. And sometimes widows have to make a choice between, am I going to purchase my medication or am I going to pay my rent? And sometimes they're in a pickle there. Well, that should never happen. That should never happen if they're a member of the church. If they're a member of the church and they have to decide whether they're going to buy medicine or pay rent, we need to make sure we purchase that medicine for them. We need to take care of them. That's what this text is telling us to do. Care for your people. Love your people. God loves widows. And God says this is what pure religion is all about. It's all about looking after orphans. It's all about taking care of widows. So I want to encourage our elders to think about appointing a deacon that specifically looks after our widows and our widowers. I think that would be a great ministry, because we need to know what's going on. And having someone appointed over that would help us to gauge better how we're doing, what needs there are, and how we can help our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so, this morning, if you're in need of prayer, we're going to sing a song. And as we sing this song, this song is to encourage you to come forward. If you have any burdens in your life, the Bible makes it so clear. Cast all your care on Him because He cares for you. God loves you. God wants to meet the needs that are in your life. And He can't do that unless you come and ask Him to do that. Because He's not going to just barge in your life. He's not going to do that. God doesn't work that way. God knows what we need before we ask Him, but He doesn't give it to us before we ask Him. He expects us to ask Him. And when we do, then God will come through. And so maybe you haven't, like James says, you have not because you ask not. And so if you haven't asked, then that might be why you haven't had the help that you need. If you're in need of help today, we pray that you'll come and ask God to help you. If you need salvation, which comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, come as well. We'd love to share with you the gospel of Jesus. And so whatever your need, make it known as we stand and sing.